Hello, friends, and welcome to World Build With Us, the podcast where we create fantastical worlds with help from you, our listeners. My name is Courtney Staples, and with me is Daniel Quinn, along with very frequent guest Johnny Law. And on today's episode, we're going to be doing a one-part prompt from listener Levon. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that if you'd like us to build your world, you can go to our website, worldbuildwithus.com, where you can fill out a form, and within a reasonable-ish amount of time, we'll be building your world. If you'd like to follow us on social media, we're on YouTube, where you can like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. We're also on Twitter, at Let's World Build. And if you'd like to chat with us more directly about world building or pretty much anything, you can join our Discord server through the link in the description and on our site. If you're feeling particularly generous and would like to support us, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/worldbuildwithus with benefits like, for example, two-part world builds instead of one-parters when you submit a prompt to us, along with some other goodies. And John, before we get into it, could you tell our listeners what you do and where they can find your stuff?
Hey, what's up? This is Johnny Law here. I kind of have a slightly defunct YouTube channel. I haven't done much with it, but I have been doing lots of editing for the OSR Plus YouTube page. That's OSRPLUS, doing the shorts from a little show that we will someday air called Dungeons and Flagons, where we basically just get drunk and DQ here rolls up a wacky one shot for us. And it's pretty hilarious. So go check those out.
Yeah, they're hilarious and
just
go watch them. Just go check them out. And without further ado, our prompt this week from Levon reads, "The world is a moon-sized brass space station that travels from planet to planet collecting tribute." And Levon's tenets are, many cultures and races exist within the station. The ruler is a pharaoh. And lastly, bronze is the main metal used. And speaking of tenets, we have a bit of a change this time around because Rob, Daniel, and I were chatting about the episode structure, and we decided to try bringing a single tenet for each of these one-part world builds. That way we can have more time to really focus on merging them together and fleshing out the world. In the past, it's felt a bit rushed to try to squeeze in two each. So this time we are going to experiment with just a single tenet each, and let us know what you think about that. So John, could you kick us off with your tenet?
So before I get to my tenet, I need some clarification here. Brass space station, right?
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck is this thing going through reentry?
Maybe it's not.
Okay, but it's going to pick up tribute. I guess they said that bronze is the main metal. So I guess there mm-hmm. still could be carbon-carbon like heat shields or something. But the problem with that is that copper is a great conductor. So even then, that shit's going to heat up like crazy.
Mm. I mean, I had a solution to that that is my tenant. So if you're worried, wouldn't worry about it.
Well, all right. I will just put that off to the side then and go with my my tenant. All right. So what I was thinking is going off of Levon's first and second tenants, I think all the denizens of the station and the races involved with it, I think they should all be variations on the Egyptian gods that have the animal heads. So you're going to have your cat people, you're going to have your jackal people, you're going to have your crocodile people. I believe there's a dolphin one. Yeah, I have a list somewhere. To clarify, they're not furries. They have human bodies, but they have the heads of animals. There's one with a big scarab as a head, and an ibis and like a swift. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just what I want it to be, that they're very much humanoid. Okay. They're very much hairless from the head down, but above the shoulders represents what we would see as different animals. But that's their races that belong to this culture that we're following.
Okay. And do you picture these races only existing on the space station, or do they come from elsewhere too?
I don't know. And I'm trying to flesh that out a bit. I mean, it seems like they consider themselves better than the rest of the universe or whatever that we're in. And as they're traveling around from planet to planet, getting tribute. So I assume they think they're like living gods. And that's kind of like, I like the idea. Like, I don't think there's like one of each, but maybe, I don't know. It depends on how many people we want to put on the space station. It's moon size. So slap the top of it. You can hold a lot of races in this. But like I think they're definitely, and maybe it's like a caste system too. Like maybe the jackal mm-hmm. heads are better than the ibis heads. I mean, I think so.
Does anybody really like ibises? I mean, they're kind of,
I mean, they're kind of goofy, long-legged. But I like the idea that there's all these different, like, instead of like having them all be human and what we know as different races on Earth, to have mm-hmm. them actually be more like, I think, is that Stargate that they actually have heads, or they just wore helmets?
I think they had the helmets that were shaped like them.
Yeah.
Were they like weird alien slugs that were inside of people in this TV show?
I never got that. I forget.
Like, I only care about the movie, but I think that was the case in the show.
I saw the movie ages ago. I don't think I've ever watched the show.
I've seen a couple episodes of the show here and there, but I don't remember much about it. But anyway, so distinct non-slug animal heads here. Okay, cool.
Animal-headed, human-bodied species.
Are they one species with a variety of types, or are they multiple species?
I'm kind of leaning to the former. Like, I think it's very much like how certain facial structures on our planet and melatonin levels, it's something along those lines, but they develop this. Like, so I don't know if is there crossbreeding. I don't mm-hmm. know. Like, I think there should be. You can have like a liger. Why not? Mm-hmm. But I think they all are from the same central biology for sure.
Are they, this makes me think perhaps since they seem to be visiting different places for a tribute, are they collecting genetic material and adding it to their own?
Oh, interesting.
Maybe. Yeah, what is the tribute that they're getting?
I mean, I'm sure we can figure that out as we go.
It could be blood. Like, I'm all for that.
You know, I was leaning towards sperm, but okay.
Well, we could put a question mark on that for now.
Okay.
We have attendance in place at least.
Okay. Sounds good. So Daniel, speaking of your tenet that solves this metallic issue, what have you got for us?
Yeah, being someone who cares about science fiction, the mention of a spaceship, wasn't gonna see how a brass spaceship will work, but my thought is perhaps since there's a relationship between brass and bronze in the prompt, that these are metaphors for some other kinds of metals. So, mm-hmm. the material difference between brass and bronze is one is stronger than the other, and one is more malleable. Mm-hmm. I believe the stronger one is bronze. Mm-hmm. So I think in this case, the ship is made of one sort of material, and the planets have this other material that they need that is mm-hmm. stronger and has similar properties that you'd expect from things like bronze. And whatever the case is, there's a scarcity of this material that they can collect from planets,
mm-hmm.
okay. which we'll call bronze and we'll call it brass for now.
Yeah. So the chemical difference is that, or the compositional difference is that brass is copper and zinc. I think it's like 33% zinc or something like that, whereas bronze is copper and tin, it's like 12% tin.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it gets more the structural integrity, so to speak, tin versus zinc. So it could be something like that. Maybe tin is more, it's rarer, or they don't have it on their home planet. You know, they got shitloads of copper lying around, mixing it with everything, but they don't have the tin.
Yeah, and I would say that it's not like the mention of the word bronze, it's literally not bronze, it's some other material mm-hmm. that has similar properties. So like the disparity is the same. So for example, if brass is more brittle than bronze, then their ship is more brittle, metaphorically speaking, than the material they're collecting, right? Okay. Because obviously their ship can't actually be brittle. It's a spaceship, right? So it's got to be made of space age materials, likely the type of which we don't even know of as people today, right? But they seem to have this Egyptian styling. So maybe they refer to things with an old world language, like, you know, the old metal is brass, but the new metal mm-hmm. is bronze, you know?
Okay. So it's like a space brass, space bronze.
Space
pretty brass. Much, like some other material. I mean, I think it has to be a material that the bronze material has to be something native to these planets that they collect tribute from. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is the tribute, but it seems to be something that is valuable on these planets, right? And on the spaceship, they don't have that, probably because it's a, you know, it's a vessel moving between point A to point B, and it's mm-hmm. made of a different kind of material.
Yeah. I'm like trying to figure out like why the space station can't collect that bronze on its on their own, if it's like an issue with they literally can't enter the atmospheres of other planets and they have like a was it a tractor beam or like a some sort of device that can port stuff up, or they just demand that other people send their stuff up in ships.
You're saying they're like they basically threaten them from space.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I mean, one thing, if we look back on the prompt doesn't suggest necessarily that the materials are the things being exchanged.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be that they're looking for bronze, right?
That's
But what I want to establish is that these materials are not literally brass and bronze.
Yeah.
They're stand-ins for something else.
Okay. They just have the look.
Or the, like the relationship that brass and bronze.
Yeah.
Like I said, like it's not that they're necessarily looking for tin, but something that's the equivalent of what tin does to make bronze bronze.
Yeah. And it seems that what the third tenet is bronze is the main metal used. So it seems like on these worlds, they're using this other metal for most things.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. No, I think that works. Now I'm wondering then if like maybe these animal people on the space station, they view like their brass as superior or more godly or something than this like peon bronze that the other people are using.
But they still need it because it actually it does serve a purpose. It's just not as refined, so to speak. I'm doing air quotes as I'm saying that.
So. Yeah. Or maybe they don't need it because, like Daniel said, it's not necessarily the tribute at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we can also figure out how it ties in later. I just wanted to, like, I wanted to detach us from the need to rationalize these not space age metals for space, you know?
Yeah. Could be magic, too. Space magic.
Exactly.
I was going to lean into space magic, but I like space brass better.
Magical space brass. So my tenet, not super related to either of yours necessarily, but my idea was that the moon-sized space station that they're on is literally built around a moon. As in, it's like not built from scratch. They started on this moon and built out from there and somehow knocked it out of the orbit that it was in. Maybe it was that their home world was destroyed and this was their escape pod. Or they just chose to do it this way because it was the easiest way to get a enormous space station that can move through the universe.
Why did they detach this moon in particular? Like, why this satellite?
And maybe it's even a rich source of that brass material that they value so highly. Like they've hollowed out the moon and built on top of it the structure.
Okay.
But basically, I'm picturing that they like used this somehow to leave their home world for whatever reason.
So was the moon itself their homeworld, or was the moon of their homeworld?
I'm thinking the moon of their homeworld.
Okay, so they got to a point where they could travel the moon. They started civilizing, Jesus Christ, John. Civilizing the moon and getting people up there, maybe terraforming or building some sort of, you know, I mean, I don't know what sort of atmosphere this moon has, if any. But then from there, they then basically outfitted it with propulsion systems and navigation. And now they're like, you know, not fly me to the moon, but fly me in the moon kind of thing.
Exactly. Did they abandon their planet then?
Yeah, I think it could go in a bunch of different ways of them abandoning it because maybe they had mined it so much for resources, they pretty much used it up, or some major disaster happened, they had to leave. This could also be like a sect that left and bailed on their home planet completely and just took the moon with them as they left.
Is it just me, or does anyone else feel like this civilization is just a bunch of assholes? Like, for some reason, that's like the default thought. Is just that, I mean, maybe it's the collecting tribute part. Like, that's just such a shit to do. But I just keep thinking like they're like really snobby and just shitty people. Animal people.
Agree.
All right, good. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, looking at this tenet, I'm also noticing that we're also assuming other things. So, like, I think we've all come to this conclusion that the place it's getting tribute from, it has bronze, right? Mm-hmm. But the way it's worded, it seems to be suggesting that the setting for the story is the moon itself. Because it says the world is this moon, right?
Yeah.
And it seems to be suggesting that bronze is the main metal used in this moon, which makes less sense than what we started with.
Well, but here's the thing. I think they started off as a brass space station and that travels and collects tributes. And maybe bronze isn't the main or only tribute, but they are now
trafficking in that.
They're now picking up the other elements to combine with whatever space copper is and make into this bronze. So that becomes the main metal that's used everywhere.
So it seems then that like the thing that they're trafficking in is this other metal, the bronze stuff that's possibly collected from other worlds then.
Yeah. But we don't really follow that part. That's like all outside of our purview in this story, because the world is
this brass moon. Yeah.
Yeah, full of assholes.
Got it. The ass moon.
The ass moon.
Hey, that's kind of fitting, right? Moon. Yeah. Anyway.
Like, it could also be something where if they've used up all the brass that was originally in this moon, or they brought it from their homeworld, maybe they're using the bronze to expand on that. Like, they're trying to build more of their space station using this other material.
Mm. So make it bigger, or just populate more of the moon with their structures.
Expanding.
Yeah, all of the above, basically.
So then, I guess... the brass material must be something that's very scarce because they're not using it to build more with it. Or is it like energy and repulsion systems? Is it like the material that makes the thing move?
I just gathered that it's what they had initially. It's what they hold sacred, like for sentimental reasons.
Yeah.
But it's become this cruder looking material. Bronze is more durable. So it's actually an upgrade in a lot of ways. But like, I still bet like, you know, their shitty thrones and whatever, that's still all made out of brass.
Okay, cool. And now I'm picturing like kind of the tiles and stuff that you'd see like in an old civilization, then you're building over it.
Okay.
Like the pretty tiles and stuff, yeah.
So yeah, they would like put things made out of bronze, like centrally, but then they would like put up like a patina or something of
the other stuff.
Brass around it.
Yeah.
Veneer is the word I'm looking for, not patina. That's what happens to copper.
No, I think that works. So are we going with them that the bronze is the tribute that they're collecting?
I don't know. I think it could be something else.
Yeah. I did kind of like the genetic material thing that one of you brought up.
Maybe they're not carbon-based creatures. Maybe they're based off of metals, and that is the genetic material. What a twist.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I like maybe the brass is their flesh, like their flesh and blood, and the structures are them.
Oh, so they're all like connected to the station.
Mm-hmm. But then like the animal-headed creatures, maybe they're like, because they're the population, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like maybe they're the product of the tribute collected? I don't know.
Well, so the ruler is a pharaoh. So the ruler could be a completely different thing. They could be like a straight up like god creature or a robot made of bronze.
Well, okay. I mean, along these lines, if the moon is made of this other older material, right, that's limited, doesn't get added to, maybe that's some kind of computronium. Like it's a metal that's intelligent is kind of the idea, right? And, you know, you go from world to world and they're collecting some tribute, which we might assume is either genetic material or something that's unique to these worlds. And that's what lets them create these people out of it, like the animal-headed people.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the bronze is the raw resources they're stripping from these worlds to continue to make their civilization function.
All right. I'm actually really liking where we're going with this. So what if the pharaoh is like, you know, because pharaohs were meant to be living gods, like that's how they ruled. So what if it is this like kind of super intelligent, you know, not silicon based, but what would you call a metal based? It's a war forge, whatever. But then it's creating these different other races that populate its flying moon base. And there was actually a caste system formed because it's like the newer animal people being made are like the lowest of the low. You know, I see what I mean? Like there's like the ones like say they found the jackals first and they made the jackals and they're like the next tier down from the pharaoh. Like here's their advisors. And then like you start creating this caste.
Like slaves.
Yeah. Yeah. But like as you get tribute from a new planet and you create this new species or race, like everyone gets bumped up a tier.
Okay. So it's like you're trading a species out of an alloy of metals.
Yeah. Something like that. Okay. I don't know, I got a little lost there in the science, but.
So is material being fed into this pharaoh computer to create each race subsequently? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I think like it's kind of like a they're kind of tweaking things as they continue collecting tributes.
Maybe they're like there's not so much that they're hairless, but their other half is like part machine.
Yeah, yeah. I was just saying here. I just trying to cut off the furries ahead of time.
Right. Yeah.
No, I do like that, and it's a cool visual image to imagine too. That like you have this space station that's just filled with all these quote unquote people with animal heads, but they're also metallic entities. They're just walking around, and like how bizarre that must be to the planets that they get tribute from.
Yeah, like it almost looks like they're wearing suits of armor, but it's not. Yeah. It's bronze them. Bodies.
Yeah,
I mean that just like explains Egyptian theology. It gives it an explanation that's fantasy based, but. You know, they're aliens, basically, which is the typical explanation for the Egyptian theology among conspiracy theorists.
So, like, at the end of this movie, what would happen is, like, they would, like, pan, like, all right, it's time to move on to the next planet. And, like, pans down the planet. And it's, like, actual Egypt. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
the Sphinx there.
Yeah, which is, like, the premise of Stargate, basically. Yep.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
So, how do we subvert that?
No, how do we not make it Stargate?
Yeah, because... Because we don't want it to just, it's right now, it basically is Stargate by another name, you know?
Yeah. I wish I'd watched Stargate more recently because I don't remember much about it at all.
I mean, I didn't watch this show because I hated the show, but the movies, it's pretty much the same thing.
it was like a portal that goes to another planet that was where Egyptian culture came from and all that. All right. Well, so, I mean, I think we can subvert it. The robot thing, the metal thing, that's a good start. I think.
Yeah, I like that. What we could also do is roll a twist now and see where that brings us.
I think we're missing more random components.
Yeah. All right, I will do that now. All right, that is going to be... I don't know how much this helps us, but now add in some treachery is our twist.
Oh.
So, what do you guys think as far as treachery goes?
Treachery.
I mean, from a zoomed out perspective, so have we decided that this is all taking place inside the moon and we're not concerned with the places they visit for tribute, or is that still an option?
I think like our primary focus should be on the moon space station, but like we can discuss the other parts if we need to.
Okay, because I basically the reason why I'm asking is trying to understand the point of view.
Yeah, I see.
I think because it says the world is a moon-sized brass space station that we do have to keep it in that fishbowl, so to speak.
Right.
But obviously we can acknowledge other things outside of the world, but it's the world that we're building itself is that we're not building the other worlds, so to speak.
Then,
too much.
To establish how this works, then perhaps the premise here could be inside the moon receiving a tribute. And the treachery comes from the direction of the tribute if our point of view is the pharaoh and his people.
Okay.
Like the tribute contains a treachery.
Something to like corrupt the system, maybe?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I was thinking something along the lines like the latest, like when we pick up the story or like midway through the story, the latest tribute is like some kind of like a malware.
Yeah.
Dirty sperm.
Can we so if that's the concept, can we make it can we reify it? So like right now when we say malware, we're thinking like software corrupting computers, right?
Yeah.
Can we make that something that's like figurative of that?
I mean like in the sense of like smallpox or like something like that? Like
Yeah, like, so for example, even like when we said genetic material, right? Can we make that more figurative? So, because like, I feel like it becomes so abstract if we think of like, it's a virus or it's just, you know, some genetic sperm cells being transferred. What if it has to be like a physical thing that has to be transferred, you know, like make it more like an old Egyptian ritual, but it's in space to give it more of a fantasy aspect.
Okay. More, and make it more tangible.
Yeah. What came to mind for me was water, since water can corrode metals. I'm trying to look up if brass can get...
Brass is pretty non-corrosive.
Yeah.
I read a lot about brass today.
That's interesting. That is interesting. If brass is non-corrosive, that's their the old metals, right?
Yeah, that's like the godly metals that they use. Does it tarnish, though?
I don't... So, I mean, like I said, it, copper definitely gets a patina on it, which sort of bronze, like you'll see the statues. I mean, isn't the Statue of Liberty bronze?
Copper.
Copper statue. Okay. Well,
The Statue of Liberty used to be copper colored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bronze is 88% copper, so close enough. I don't think the tin's going to keep bronze from. See, you know, you've seen like the old statues and they got like the green on the highest points on like the ridges and stuff like that. Anyway, but brass, the whole thing with brass is that I think that the amount of zinc makes it less corrosive, and also it makes it more useful in medical applications because it's able to keep sterile easier. So maybe that's the thing, that they're moving away from the brass, that they're actually opening up themselves to other, you know, not infestation, but tainting. But also going back to what DQ was saying, like making it more of a ritual or something.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm looking at more brass corrosion stuff.
Yeah, I have like would a spacecraft made entirely out of copper be able to survive reentry? I have all these like Quora things open.
So zinc is leached faster than copper in brass, leaving behind a porous copper-rich metal that is prone to failure. All brasses de-zincify over time.
Interesting.
I mean, I guess in order to really understand what a treachery could entail, we have to understand the motivations of these people and this pharaoh. Like, all the motivation we have so far is that they want to populate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the pharaoh machine or whatever only capable of creating new species from the patterns of others it finds? And if so, why?
What if they were not only demanding tribute, but what if they were populating these planets with some of their creations?
Oh.
Like the higher ones. And then the treachery could be coming from one of those former. Like, you know, he's basically instilling mini pharaohs, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Okay. So you're saying, like, not only do they grab a sample, create a new cast, but then they drop their offspring there.
Yeah, they drop one of the higher up ones
there to rule over it, basically.
To lord over them and make sure that they can come back and like they don't have to fight them every time. Like they like
you and know, get more bronze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. So maybe bronze is really like fuel in some, like if you think of the brass machinery, like maybe it needs to process bronze to be able to produce new structures and do the work of making the pattern species and all that stuff. And that's mining those planets. They call it bronze, but it's like any raw material from those planets.
I like that. Yeah.
And I like what Courtney was saying too, that like with how zinc leaches out faster, like maybe their old brass stuff is actually starting to fail more and more. And so they need to like reinforce it, or like, you know, the same thing, like concept of like fuel, but also like their building blocks. The brass is starting to fail over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like the pharaoh is essentially like a 3D printer, molding thing of some sort, or the pharaoh controls it, and they've been doing this for so long that that's starting to degrade.
Uh-huh.
And maybe somebody on one of these planets realizes that somehow, and that's where the treachery aspect comes in. Like they realize that they can target this now.
I'm also thinking of Foundation, Oh, okay. Yeah. Where they have the, there's the Kleon dynasty where they just keep sampling their own DNA. You guys know about this?
Well, I know the book. I don't know what happens in the show.
It's following from what I understand the book, but basically without trying to ruin too much is when you're watching the show, you're jumping around through several different eras. But somewhere down the line, the dynasty gets kind of tainted of sorts. And so things start falling apart. And it's like so far back that it can't be fixed, really. And so I like that idea that somewhere down the line, there's this treachery that has, they don't really know it, but it's actually going to cause the downfall of Moonbase asshole.
Well, yeah. Maybe along those lines, you know, like when you retrieve a tribute, you do it multiple times. So upon the return to one of those slave worlds they've created that are now ruled over by a caste of their creation, I could imagine those people who know about this exploit then act on it by tainting the tribute on that turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Or it could have been like a coup from the inside just over an extremely, extremely long period of time where they like created this impurity in the first place, one of these higher caste numbers. And, you know, thousands of years later, potentially, is when stuff starts to break down and become noticeable.
The long con.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of perhaps if you couple that with an activation so that you can have something from a story point of view to hook into. So if this was put in motion 1,000 years ago, upon the return to that world to get the next tribute 1,000 years ago, or later rather, those who are on the planet begin the process that wakes this up, you know,
when
it is transferred. Yeah.
Like that's part of their oral history and everything is one day the skies will darken again.
Yes.
And Moonbase asshole comes into view. We will strike.
It's like language you could use of being freed and liberated, right? Like among those people,
they're
probably enslaved by this caste that has been there for 1,000 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So is this become from a storytelling standpoint or game or whatever we would turn this into, where the world is this, this is the moon base towards the end when this comes into play, is it like are we the baddies moment or?
I think you could kind of deal with it in a couple different ways. If you were to bring this into a game or a story, like if you brought this into an RPG that you're running, maybe one day the sky darkens and this mysterious craft appears in the sky and this like quote unquote god speaks down and demands tribute and it's up to your party to figure out what the fuck's going on. Or alternatively, if it's a story, like you could describe that happening from a point of view character, or like you said, you could have it flipped around where you're this entity on this seemingly, to you anyway, kind of utopia of a space station.
Yeah.
And you start to notice things that aren't quite right as time goes on.
Oh, I like the idea that you are, from the story standpoint, that you are, say, like mid-tier cast. Like you start off and you've known this life and it's utopia, like you said, but you start to notice like flaws in the system and like weird inconsistencies in your cold nature and whatever, and what the turnaround is, the you eventually realize as you're returning to the, you find out it's the planet of your species origin, that something awakens in you or something, you know, like that trigger thing that DQ was saying happens, and now you realize that this is not a utopia, this has actually been a prison, and that now is the time to rise up, and that goes into, that's when part two starts.
Mm-hmm. You could also going back to the idea of rituals that we discussed before, thinking about the ritual that Anubis had with the feather, where he weighed the soul or the heart against the feather, and maybe like that's kind of what they have done with tribute all along. They have some sort of quote unquote divine thing that can measure the purity of the tribute that they're receiving from these planets, and maybe that is what gets corrupted. So it's starting to like, the ritual is still saying that this stuff is totally pure, even though it's not anymore, and it's gradually adding more and more impurities into the system.
I mean, you can roll with, if the idea is that this pharaoh / 3D printer, you know, whatever impurity has been introduced, perhaps it's creating things that are slightly off now inside the moon as a result of receiving the tribute, which is what you're saying, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, it could even be creating off, like, races or entities that mm-hmm. maybe have more free will of their own.
Yeah.
So doing a little yes and to your Anubis analogy, mm-hmm. I think it would be cool if they did like a fire assay, like the way that you test purity of metals, where you basically mm-hmm. break it down so everything separates. So like they did kind of like a genetic / metallic fire assay to do that. And somehow in that process, either like the data got messed up or just that the method itself had changed in a way that was no longer giving the proper results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that works well. And then so like the treachery originally would have come from one of the entities on the station that it decided to start this up 1,000+ years ago.
Oh, so we're saying that the level of the caste is unsatisfied with the situation and put all this in place to corrupt itself in the end?
Potentially, yeah.
So maybe we need to walk through exactly the steps here, just so I can make them as physical as possible. Like I like the if we said fire, I like that idea. So I wonder if we can make it physical. So like it seems like we've got Brass Moon going to some arbitrary planet. They are going to request the tribute from the planet. We still don't really know what exactly that is, though, right? So they're taking something from the planet.
Or it's the like metal genetic stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. But what it literally is, I'm not certain. So it's taking something from the planet that's unique. And then the Pharaoh Chomper processes it, turns it into a new caste, right? Mm-hmm. And then that caste is delivered on the planet to rule over the planet. So when they come back, they get more tribute. So. Yes. During this period, one of the castes in the moon is like, well, I don't like this situation anymore. Fuck those guys. And he taints, I guess, the tribute that's being brought on board at that moment. Is that what's happening?
So I think that the tribute itself should be both a combination of raw material, like metal or some kind of composite, and then also genetic material. I really like that kind of spookiness of that. And
why don't we say that that's literally a person taken from the planet to make it physical? Yeah.
I like that.
It's an embryo after 1 week of impregnation, which is considered a person, obviously.
Oh my gosh.
A mother, a pregnant mother could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But you also said you wanted physical stuff. So maybe a pregnant mother and a hunk of their planet or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think mined ore of some sort or refined. You know, metals, and then that's what they're building.
Oh, a pregnant mother in a temple.
Oh, yeah, they just take the whole thing up.
Because like the aliens are like, oh, the aliens are coming to take us to heaven, and they build a temple to it. And this happens on many different alien worlds, but they don't realize it's happening.
Several pregnant mothers.
Yes.
Let's up the ante here.
Several pregnant mothers. Yes. Okay.
And then they immediately kill the mother, and then take the babies and do weird stuff with them.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, as you do.
Okay, so take me along the rest of the way, though. I've got the embryo. What's happening to it?
So then what happens is eventually... Well, hold on. I don't know that part yet. I want to get to the treachery, and then we'll go back.
Okay.
So then the treachery, what happens is at one point, they hit up a planet, and I don't know why this person that's in charge of the fire say decide, we'll call it Anubis right now, because that's like what it is in the Egyptian. But they...
He falls in love with her.
They just... Oh, maybe they... Yeah, man, they fall in love.
Yeah.
But they decide to fuck everything over, and so they set up the process that they say that this whatever the tribute was from that one specific planet is actually like it's great, but it's not
okay.
And they know eventually it's going to cause the collapse, like it's the one bad Jenga piece at the bottom of the tower,
right?
And so it's a slow buildup, and so they keep going back, that keep using this and keep replicating it or doing whatever they do, and then eventually when they're going back to get it again. I don't know if either that's if you want to still do like the people rise up or that it's by that point they that's when they realize that it's actually been shit that they've been using, and now that like everything that they've worked for is ruined.
So this is why I'm asking the specific steps, because I've got the embryo, I pop them into the Pharaoh, and does that mean then I print out a new cast based on that embryo at that point and drop them off on the planet before we leave?
I think what gets dropped off on the planet is something that has already been existing and
like one of the higher teams.
That has been vetted and
evolved. So they drop off a pharaohling.
Yeah, yeah. unless there's already a pharaoh there.
Okay, so then he just enslaves the planet.
Yeah.
And so the planet's really unchanged other than there's a pharaoh there now enslaving them. So they can get more people later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And continue okay. the history and all that.
Got it. And so then they come back 1,000 years later, but 1,000 years have passed with this embryo's material infecting the brass moon.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you could then say is that pharaoh that was dropped off there is Anubis. So he set up like the treachery.
He's waiting. Oh.
Like he signed off on this thing. Like, oh yeah, this is perfect. I'll oversee it. And meanwhile, it's not perfect. It's actually he fucked with the data. And so then he's been on this planet starting a new culture to rise up against.
Oh, so then maybe we don't have to have the embryo corrupting the brass moon. Because it's like it's almost like his corruption is having raised an alien world against them for when they come back for tribute. That's the treachery.
Another idea that I had was that like Anubis, this figure, remains on the station and is sort of biding their time. Like maybe going back to my tenet that the moon is, or the space station is actually built around a moon, which had been knocked out of the planet's orbit originally. Like maybe this Anubis figure is one of the people from that original planet. That maybe that had actually been where this enslavement started.
Oh, are they going back to the original world?
Or maybe just trying to destroy the station itself, like cause it to decay from the inside or something, or corrode.
So what if, like maybe this pharaoh came to this, the Anubis's planet, took over their moon, like somehow subjugated them, and then proceeded to take over their moon and create.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's just an added layer, but that's good. Then we can do prequels.
Yeah. But yeah, that way it's like, it's less about like a planetary uprising and more like this
revenge.
Figure has just been, yeah, revenge. Like this figure has been using their knowledge and technology over the course of millennia to cause this downfall.
So are we saying then that the pharaoh is some separate entity that originally took the moon? And the Anubis character is someone from the original tribute, or produced as a result of the original tribute of it.
Yeah, or like, okay. I don't know if it's some like, if the original production was literally the alien species just transformed as opposed to like a 3D printed thing, you know what I mean?
With the first tier of the.
Right, is what yeah.
And he's been harboring resentment for his world having been harvested since then.
Yeah.
And so when they come upon this other world and they find this mother, are we still going with the idea that he falls in love with this being and that's what spurs him to action? Or is that not part of it?
I'm less inclined to do the fall in love thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then he receives this mother and then what does he do to it that sets it up so that they can do this treachery in the future?
Maybe it's like putting in more of the genetic code than is typical, like enough that free will is still retained.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was just kind of seeing it as just corrupting the data of being like, oh, this is totally fine. This is great. Let's use this. And it wasn't narrator. It wasn't great.
Okay, so then at the end of it, what's the outcome? So we come back, and is there not? It's not an issue of coming back. It's just slow decay over time, or what?
I think so. Yeah, okay. And like going back to the corruption too, it could be that Anubis puts some of like the mother into this batch of alloy or whatever, and like having that more developed. Form of the species in there is what really kicks off the corruption.
So maybe the way this is told, if it is a story, it would be similar to like Foundation, where you have short stories broken out over vast gaps of time.
Yeah.
And each story vignette probably shows how the casts are changing. Because this direction is it's a bit bigger, more abstract. I think approach to it, right? So I think the only way you can like show that is in small sections. So like in this 100 years, this one aspect of the culture has changed. In this 100 years, you know, suddenly this is different. And so that you can, and the only consistent thing is the perspective of Anubis as he sees these things change because it was his plan.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. And then that too, like, brings in another potential avenue if you're running this as a game where maybe your party is entities on the station who are tasked with investigating, or who like notice some issue and decide to investigate, and you uncover this huge 1,000-year-long conspiracy that's been going on.
Mm-hmm. Or you play generational characters that pick up on the same thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So it'd be kind of like what's this horrible enemies? Like a Evangelion adjacent, you know, weird kind of abstract storytelling mode, I think.
Yeah, but like better than Evangelion.
Yeah. It's probably a terrible analogy because I've only watched a few episodes and I hated all of them.
I you talking about Aunt Evangeline? I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys get to wrap it up here.
I just want to say two things real quick. Uh-huh. I want to say that revenge is a dish best served cold on a bronze plate. Just want to put that out there. Mm-hmm. And I've been dying the whole time you're talking. Just want to say, the moon is open.
Oh, God damn it. I think it's the door. It's the door.
It is. But sorry. Wow. I just totally is. The door is open. But now I've been watching For All Mankind, which is about the moon most of the time. And we just now say the moon is open. So I confused myself on what actually making fun of. Oh,
wait, what's the line originally from?
It's from Raised by Wolves theme song.
Yeah.
Just
the opening theme song, Raised by Wolves.
Gotcha. She'll never know what it means. God damn it. They at least give us a comic book or something, for Christ's sakes. If anyone's listening.
I'm sure the show creators are listening intently, yes.
They're one fan. Me and Reddit.
It's me. Thank you.
Basically.
You should write to them and be like, hey, I'm the one person who actually enjoyed the show.
Can I know. Send me a comic book.
And on that note, this is going to do it for this episode of World Build With Us. Thank you, Levon, for submitting this prompt. We had a lot of fun with it. Hope you enjoy how it turned out. I know it's a pretty abstract, odd one. And remember that if you'd like us to build your world, like we just built Levon's, you can visit worldbuildwithus.com to submit a prompt. And within a reasonable amount of time, we'll be building your world. If you want to check out our YouTube channel, we're at worldbuildwithus on there. You can follow and like, subscribe, etc. You can also find us on Twitter at @letsworldbuild. Or if you'd like to chat with us directly and meet other listeners and talk about millennia-long revenge schemes, you can join our Discord server, and the link for that is in the description. And of course, if you're feeling particularly generous, you can give us money on Patreon at patreon.com/worldbuildwithus. You get benefits like 2-part world builds instead of a 1-part, which now would get you 2 tenets instead of 1 tenet, and some other bonus goodies. And a big thanks to all of our patrons for your ongoing support. And thank you, John, as well, for joining us, as always, on this episode. And that's going to do it for this episode of World Build With Us. Remember that we love you very much, and we're going to get through this together. Until next week.